Fred Dreyer has joined us on Sports Byline USA, played with the Giants and also the Los Angeles Rams and had a great career. Fred, when you think about Los Angeles, and I want to ask you about just the whole atmosphere of playing in Los Angeles. It's Hollywoodish and all of that. And you played with some guys that went on to have careers in either movies or on television like yourself as well. Tell me about what the athletic atmosphere is like in Los Angeles.
Well, at that point in time, it was because the studio systems and the television business was flourishing, you know, in the 60s and the 70s and certainly in the 80s, it started to go down, right around 90, 92. But during that period of time, I mean, it's an industry town. It used to be. It's not now. I mean, they do business here, but it's not like it was because they've killed it. But when I was playing here, it was an industry town, and the Dodgers were playing well, and the Rams were playing well, and the Lakers were kind of like mediocre at that time. They have just made a big transition from their 72 teams. When you think about it, entertainment is such a huge part of the entertainment of the sports scene today, and there's an awful lot that is there. Entertainment is certainly available differently at all hours of the day, at all different forms. So it's grown considerably. But when I was here, it was primarily television and the movie business.
1974, you had your best year with 15 sacks, which co-led the team along with Jack Youngblood, and you were named the outstanding defensive lineman and also All-Pro and All-NFC. That defensive unit with the Rams, fearsome, foursome, tell me a little bit about each of you and how you guys came together.
Well, it was kind of like Jack came along in 71. I was drafted in 69 by the Giants, and Jack was picked up by Tommy Pro from the Rams in 71. So 71, 72 seasons, found Jack at left end and Merlin at left tackle, and then kind of a hodgepodge of people playing right tackle and right end. And then when the Rams traded for me, I guess the right end was Rick Cash. And when he left, went to New England, then I came in, and it was between me and Coy Bacon and Jack Youngblood as the ends, and Merlin Olsen, and then we had Phil Olsen at the time, and then Larry Brooks. You could see Larry was going to play right away. He was just terrific. And so the 72 season was a year where Profil had me playing in Jack's position, Jack and I switching around at end, and nothing was stable except for Merlin. And then when he left, Chuck Knox came in and just straightened everything out, and everybody found their spot. We moved forward. And I think that the great deal of success in the years that I was there, the 10 years I was there, was because of Ray Malavasi. And his aggressive nature and his system of defense, of controlling the line of scrimmage with big people, making sure that your defensive line was the spine of your defense, and the philosophy was, and I think it still holds today, but today it's different because of the rules and the way the league has changed and seen scoring proliferate. The philosophy was always you want your big people on big people, and once your big people can beat theirs, then you start to break their will and take control of the line of scrimmage. If you can't control the line of scrimmage, and that goes for today as well, but if you can't control the line of scrimmage, you can't win games.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that because I've always found that if you take a look at the National Football League when you played, Fred, there wasn't the specialization. You didn't have nickel packages, dime packages, specialized players who were in there for this or for that. I really felt that the defensive players that played when you did were the all-around good athletes that could defend against the run, defend against the pass. Am I correct in that observation?
Yeah, partly. We had all kinds of different packages. It's just that the people, the 11 starters were the ones that
right.
Stayed in the game. They had... Dallas and Atlanta and all of the real big top teams back in the 70s and the 80s, they ran everything they're running today. The difference is today they have made a bump and run a penalty. You know, they have made rules and regulations defensively to allow higher scoring games. They want 50 to 49 games. They don't want 17-10 games. It's a TV game. It's a fast-paced, dynamic, throw the ball down the field. If you've got 5 seconds left, you can win a game. That mentality. And that's what they want. They've engineered it away from all of the real good fundamental football. It's a very poor tackling league. And it's a league that tells each team that the idea when you come in contact with a ball carrier or a receiver is to first of all strip the ball, go for the ball first, and then try to get the man down on the ground second. And it wasn't that way when I played. It's just that we did both, and it's a frustration I think that everybody that played in my era has. I don't want to say it belongs in the category of being a purist and therefore being dated. There's nothing that is better than to have fundamental football teams on the field each Sunday, and the fundamentals of the sport today is waning. It's all athleticism. It's all rules, engineering, receivers and coverages. Packages are one thing, because one thing that has changed over the years primarily is that every position is probably a little bit more athletic. You've got situations today where the receiving core of every team is capable of 10 catches a game, 100 passes a year, because of the rules on defense and coverage. Plus, the fact is that they've allowed it to happen. They've allowed these rules to take place and dominate the sport, which also allows them to get rid of high-salaried veteran receivers. You can get a guy coming in out of college as a rookie and catching 100 balls a year, and that never used to happen. But it does now because of the coverage rules and the things that you can't do defensively. So therefore, you don't have to keep a high-priced veteran guy. You can get rid of those salaries and get rid of those guys, those veteran receivers, and play younger people.
Fred Dreyer has joined us on Sports Byline, had a 13-year career in the NFL with the Giants and the Rams, had great success with the Rams, 104 career sacks. Tell me about how you gravitated toward acting, because you had some teammates, most notably, of course, Merlin Olsen, who had a good career in television as well, and also Carl Weathers, who played Apollo Creed in the first four films of the Rocky series. Tell me about how you gravitated in that direction, Fred.
Well, I was always interested in it. Even from college days, so I kept my interest up, and I went to acting school while I was still playing here, and I studied with Nina Foch for 5 years before I even went out for auditions, and so when I left the Rams in '81, I just loaded my stuff up and drove up to L.A. and went to my attorney's office, and I said, this is what I'm doing now. Here's my new phone number, and this is what I'll be doing now. And I completely got away from it, although I did spend the '81 season doing color commentating for CBS. I did that for a year and liked it, but I realized that I didn't see a career in it for me because, as we all know, whenever the next star player retires or the next quarterback quits or the next coach is fired, those jobs go to those people. So you're always looking over your shoulder to be replaced. So I looked at a career that if I could make a living as an actor, then I would be responsible for what I did and not somebody else telling me, you've played too long, so we have to fire you now, you know. So I got involved in it a long time ago and followed my interests and developed myself. And uh, and applied myself. And the biggest question was, could I make a living at doing this? It's one thing to